Hey, Corolla Drinks fans, we've got a special anniversary coming up. November marks the 10-year anniversary of Mangria. To celebrate this milestone and, more importantly, the support that the fans have given us, we're excited to announce each and every bottle of Mangria and 33 wines during the month of November is $10 only. That's right. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and get your bottles for only $10. The holidays are coming. Thank you so much for supporting us over the past decade. It really means the world to us. We love you guys. Happy holidays from all of us at Corolla Drinks.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice victim mandate. Get it on. A welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Mark Hard Out. Garagus.
I want you to know, I had told Gary, I don't think I can get there. It's not going to happen. And then I felt this pull to come here. And
yes.
I thought it was you.
It was the siren song of the Armo.
It's exactly right. I pull into the parking lot, and who's there?
Surge. From System of a Down.
Who I haven't seen in person in, God, probably since COVID. And he was there with his son, and we quite a reunion. In fact, I would have been 10 minutes later if I had, because we were doing the Armo shuffle in the parking lot. So.
Yes, I love
and
that.
And then I did not know, it shows you how our lives intersect, you and, there he is.
Yeah.
He's the best.
I love Serge.
Serge, right. And you guys go way back.
Yeah, we kind of discovered them in the later 90s, 98, I guess their first album dropped. And I was doing a K-Rock event, and they were playing in the parking lot of the Best Buy in Burbank or wherever it was, and it was just bedlam.
We
made friends with the band, and we'd go out to Carousel and then Little Armenia there,
right,
which is pretty big Armenia.
Yes,
if you really think about it.
Now it's by some accounts the diaspora capital here in California is bigger than the entire population in Yerevan. So
yeah, you know, I'm not running for any elected office, but if I was, I would make a hard push for where's our Little Italy?
Right.
All
right.
The great towns have a Little Italy.
We don't have it.
We have Little Ethiopia, right. Armenia. By the way,
Little Ethiopia's got some great restaurants.
Yeah. We have little everything.
Koreatown, which is spectacular.
We have everything, but no Little Italy. And when you go to New York and other great towns, Chicago, they have a Little Italy.
Right.
And we're not represented, our people.
I don't think so. And I will tell you that I used to go to Little Joe's, which was downtown, walking distance from the criminal courts building. And then the Italian-American lawyers used to do they had a hall and they would do an annual event. And there used to be a much bigger presence. I don't know what happened.
I think Italians got lumped in with white people and we lost our mojo. You know what I mean? Because there is no Little Ireland. And yeah, there's no little Sweden, you know. They don't.
I always
Whitey
look at,
just doesn't.
I
can't get
look,
it together in this
you
town.
You know, for a while, somebody had once done I don't know if it was a study or a paper or an article, but it was tracing the immigrant populations by ethnicity and heavyweight champions, and that. If you look at various, you know, Rocky Marciano, you go to Sugar Ray Leonard.
Those are Rocky Graziano,
Right. And you could look at the various generations as to who the heavyweight champ was and the kind of the acclimation, if you will, of that ethnicity. And then it would wash out after a generation.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting now is a lot of the heavyweights are coming from Baltic states.
Right.
Which means even the blacks traditionally who became, you know, Hispanics and blacks, not so much Hispanic in the heavyweight department, although there's been a couple, as they acclimate, as they become doctors and lawyers, they don't want their kids fighting it out, and there's better ways to make a buck.
The ethnicities understood CTE way before anybody else did.
That's right. So you got to reunite with Serge in the parking lot.
Oh, it was spectacular. And you know, one of the things about Serge,
but your cosmic tractor beam,
yeah,
that drew you into the studio. The last conversation I had with Serge moments ago in the studio is like, I wish that Mark was coming in, because I know you guys would love to get caught up. And it's just a shame that you're on your way out and Mark's coming in via Zoom today. Yeah. But here you are.
And here I am, and it was wonderful. And he looks good. And, you know, I don't know if you guys discussed it on your show, because obviously I didn't listen to it yet. But he has been such a hero for the Armenian cause and Armenia and Artsakh and everything else. I mean, he's a guy who really puts his money where his mouth is. He writes songs and he stays there. He did. In fact, he did. I always regret not doing with him. You know, Anthony Bourdain, before he died, one of the last places he visited was Armenia. Hmm. And Serge had met him there. I was supposed to go over. I never did. And I feel bad about that. But Serge also has been on the forefront of raising consciousness about it. And it's just a wonderful, the total package, just a great guy.
What can I say? We're right. I was right all those
years ago. You were early money on Armos. You've always had an Armo in your back pocket. You know, you started in high school and you had Barrett.
LaPasian.
And then you had Serge and now me. So it's like that's the triplex of the tripartite Armenians. Yeah. But you know, it reminds me, somebody was telling me a story about you in high school. Mm-mm. And that you used to torture some guy, and the guy's gone on to some success.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about funny worlds. This guy grew up, and I won't, maybe you'll remember the torture that you used to put him through in high school or that he used to go through. But now he started a new show, right, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if Adam can Rob guess
didn't,
it.
Mark didn't give me the angle on this. He just sent me a couple of links two weeks ago. We haven't gotten to it yet.
So there's a new TV show, and it's based on a hotshot African-American female lawyer in L.A. And then you look at it, and you see one of the producers is Sean Hawley Chapman, who was with Howard Weitzman and before that with Johnny Cochran. And the name of the show?
Hmm.
Reasonable Doubt.
Oh, right.
And I may have written a letter, a cease and desist letter, but now I've realized I've come full circle. The guy who put that show together, John Lachey, is that
John
a familiar
Lachey.
Name to you?
Yeah.
You went to high school.
Yeah. John Lachey. He didn't crack my top 10 of torturing people.
But he was there.
He was there.
Apparently tortured.
He was, what we did in high school was essentially torture each other.
Right.
It wasn't – John was too easy for us.
He was just a – was he kind of a pansy?
He, as we used to say back in the day, was a little diminutive. He didn't play on the football team. Uh-huh. And that was – it just didn't – for us, we went after people that were – we had a kind of Mike Tyson approach to torturing, which is, you know, Mike Tyson fought Razor Ruddock. It was a very close fight. Donovan Razor Ruddock could throw devastating uppercuts, and he fought him. And after the fight, he famously said that Razor Ruddock punched like a fucking mule kicks. And then he went, pardon my French, because that's a Mike Tyson thing to do. And they had another fight 4.5 months later. And if you want to know where Tyson's head was at, most guys would steer clear of the guy who punched like a fucking mule kick, but Tyson liked it.
Oh, Mike and Kiki were clients for a long time of mine extricating him from that whole mess that he had with Don King. And Mike is, as anybody who's ever listened to him, not only smart and insightful, but incredibly funny.
And he liked the challenge.
Yeah.
And so that's where we were at. And John Lachey, it was too easy.
Yeah.
Too easy for us.
Yeah. Now, well, he apparently Payback's a bitch because he's stealing the name of the show, right? Lachey, I defy you to respond to my cease and desist.
I haven't heard his name in a million years. And
isn't that funny?
He used to hang out a lot with the Ringwalds. He hung out with Molly Ringwald back in the day.
Wow.
Beth, the sister, lived up the street.
Right.
From me in North Hollywood way back before anyone was a star.
Danny Bonaducci in your neighborhood? Because he was around that kind of Van Nuys area as well.
Danny Bonaducci, the only Danny Bonaducci sightings and stories I had is that my dad would teach special, I don't even know what it was, troubled kids or something. He was like a substitute school teacher.
So and like Bonaducci, a continuation
made
school.
It into that group at some point. That was the closest I had with a brush with Bonaducci until years later. All right, what do we got our hit list?
We've got a lot of stuff today. The first one, I watched this, I think, when was it, Gary? Last night. And not only did I think of you, I thought of Barrett, I just thought, this is somewhat insane. I want you to watch this. This is CNN. Aaron Burnett, who I like, we've cut it down, so we're not trying to splice and dice, but we wanted to give, Gary and I wanted to give the flavor of this longer report and then the comments afterwards, and I just thought you might have something to say about
this. I've not seen it, so we'll play it.
In year three of the pandemic, every positive case and close contact is still sent to government quarantine facilities like these. And this one, the video says it's a quarantine site for kids in Henan province. A little boy jumping on bricks to avoid the pool of dirty liquid. This is where they use the bathroom. Distraught parents crowd outside to protest. Protesters rush to the streets in Lhasa, Tibet, demanding the end of a lockdown that's lasted for more than 80 days. China's leader Xi Jinping claims zero COVID puts lives above all else. But for many, it's precisely the policy itself that's ruining their lives. Metal spikes, which the man filming says were installed on a compound gate to prevent residents from leaving, or red plastic barriers. This one separating a father from his daughter. The little girl, worried, asks her dad how he's going to get home. But her father, like millions across China, likely has no idea when he can go home or when all of this will end.
That is an unbelievable report. It's just jaw on the floor watching it.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, okay.
By the way, the first thing I think of, obviously, because I'm in the middle of it, speaking of Barrett, is they're showing a wall and some little spikes.
He owns Tin Horn Flats.
Right.
His family.
Can you imagine if they just slipped in the fact that the government installed cement anchored fence around the property and then cited him, sued him, tried to take or did take his business, forfeited his business, and then sued him on top of it? And the fence there, they then arrest his son, Lucas, not once, not twice, but three times?
So here's what I'm...
Jaw? What did she say?
Her jaw's dropping. And now, look, so here's what I'm saying. If this thing is bad, if locking people in compounds is bad and not letting dads reunite with their daughters is bad and taking kids away from the family and essentially a major disruption of human rights... if that is a bad thing, and then we can agree on it, well, then why is a lesser version of that celebrated? Because that's essentially what California was. California
still is under emergency order.
It didn't have internment camps for COVID-infected people. What it had was beaches that were closed, parks that were closed, businesses that were closed, folks that were fired from their jobs for not being vaccinated. They tried to implement as much as they possibly could. So what California did was a lesser version, but not ostensibly not that much less in many cases. They just did a China light version of this. And then what we did in California, as we then attacked other states such as Florida, who did try to remain open, schools and whatnot. So I don't get why you know what? I always say it. It's like this. It's like what we do with socialism, and it's like what we do with communism. It's Bernie Sanders going, look, the Soviet Union, no, we don't want that. Venezuela, no, we don't really want that. Cuba, we don't want that. We want a version of that. And my argument is why do you even want a version of that then?
Well, I'm going to make a prediction, and I said it, I think, with you 6 or 8 months ago, that it was not going to – and I've had this argument as recently as last 48 hours with somebody who told me I'm delusional because the Democrats, there's a swing of 3.5 million votes early voting. There's going to be not a red wave, a red tsunami.
And probably.
Yeah,
but maybe not. Maybe not in California.
I don't know.
And
California,
maybe not in the mayoral race.
Well, the mayoral race, L.A. County, they get what they deserve. I mean, they really do. I mean, if this goes the way the polls say, I just don't even know what to say. I mean, somebody had done. And I've admitted I like the way Karen Bass debates. I think she should be the vice president.
Or should have.
Yeah, should have been the vice president. But she's not going to solve the problems that we've got in Los Angeles. I hate to be a nattering nabob, but she's not going to do it.
Well, she's – the only way I'm now realizing to affect any real change – is somebody's got to be an outsider with fuck me money and no affiliations and who cares? Because trying to change the system while working within the system and satisfying the system, it's a bridge too far.
Right.
Because you could say, you know, LA County and California, I don't know where we're ranked scholastically, but we're pretty, you know, we're just above Louisiana.
Except for La Cañada. The Valley Sun yesterday said La Cañada is some of the highest scores in the state.
Yeah, so right. We're throwing the curve off.
Uh-huh. And, exactly. We're raising. We're like the rising tide.
My kids are doing their part to keep the curve accurate. That much I can
tell
you.
That's your contribution.
Yes, yeah. But imagine if you were somebody who was sort of working within the system and you said – I want to reconfigure this whole school system. You know, we got too many administrators. We have the ratio to administrators to teachers is off what it used to be 25 years ago. It would be more teachers than admin. Now we're bloated. The kids are suffering. We're having teachers unions make policy. You know, they're going to the governor and telling them schools need to be shut down instead of.
Right. It's a competition between the teachers union and the correctional officers union every year as to who gets the most money.
Right. So you're in that system and you go, look, I want charter schools. I want vouchers. I want school choice. I want to shake the system up. But then all the people that paid for your election and all the folks around you are explaining, no. You got to play ball. It's an impossible task because what you're asking is this person to go against the system they're in the middle of. The right. only way to change it is to have some sort of outsider who's made their bones in business, not doing it for the money, not doing it to parlay this into some higher office and use as a stepping stone or a springboard to go somewhere else. You just need someone who comes in and goes, I don't care about the money, and I don't care how unpopular I am, and I don't care if I move ahead within this party or that party. I got changes, and we're going to implement them.
And by the way to judge that is a viable theory is just take one look at what has happened. And the devolving. I mean, you cannot. I thought, and this is where I didn't prognosticate correctly. What has happened on Ventura Boulevard, your old stomping grounds in the valley? I thought that alone would cause a shift in not just the city of LA, but the county of LA.
Well, you know, let's look at it this way: if we were to kind of do a sociological chart of LA. In, let's say, the minds of the voter. Around the country, you're probably going to see a red wave because the average voter around the country especially in a lot of the flyover states, goes, I have hit my saturation level with bad policy. I don't care about trans rights or whatever anymore. I care about the price of beef and the price of gasoline. Okay, so they got there. L.A., for some reason, our sponge is so big, your average L.A. voter, that we can not hit our saturation point as soon as others hit saturation points. Other parts of the country, people get to that saturation point fast, and they go, we're going another direction. Here, we don't get saturated that fast. We take on water, but we haven't hit the saturation level where we go, we're going another direction. So while the rest of the country goes, look, we've hit our saturation level. We're no more, you know, crime, you know, the economy, whatever it is. We in L.A. are probably two more election cycles, meaning we haven't fully bottomed out. Now, if this was Nebraska, we would have bottomed out 18 years ago. Here. So we're not fully bottomed out in the eyes of most Los Angelinos. So we'll go down this road that we've been going down. Someone needs to pump the brakes, but we'll go a little further down this road, maybe another cycle or two, and then we'll get to our full saturation point, which we should have been at a decade ago. But we have this bizarre tolerance.
There's something about that. My father used to say the unique thing about L.A. County. I mean, you have to live here to understand just how sprawling the county is. I mean, the county covers an incredible amount horizontally and demographically. And he says, you know, the one thing you can always judge, look at how it can just swallow up the Olympics. You can have the Olympics here. Any other major or city would come to a standstill. L.A. can it can absorb the Olympics and still walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, we're that way with the homeless. Like we just get a little more and a little more, and then it spreads out into the San Fernando Valley, and then it spreads into the Santa Monica.
Throwing feces.
Bags
at
of shit at an SUV. And we can kind of, we're good at
judging. No, we're a very tolerant county.
What's going on with Tin Horn Flats?
Well, we're trying to get some of the discovery done, and I hope to have a update next episode. A case that happened today that just intrigues me, and I don't know why it's not getting more coverage. Do you remember Tom Barrack? He was the head of Trump's inaugural committee.
He was a $250 million bail guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. Right. And a close friend of Trump's. People in California may know him because he had an entity called Colony Capital. I believe he bought Neverland at one point. And a highly successful guy from Lebanese ethnicity. And he got arrested, I want to say 2 years ago, for being an agent under this foreign agent registration legislation. And they actually made him put up $250 million bail because they said he was a flight risk. And they indicted him in the Eastern District of New York along with a young man from Colorado who was kind of his sidekick. And they've been on trial. And most people were saying, prognosticating, well, it's New York. It's the Eastern District. They hate Trump. This guy's gonna go down. And he was acquitted on all counts this morning. And good for him, because he not only went to trial, he got on the stand and testified. And they asked him a question, one of my favorite parts of this, when he was testifying. They said, was Trump good for business? He said, are you kidding me? It was the opposite. I live in California, and the fact that every time Trump would do something, it was horrific for business. And testified, was cross-examined, and acquitted. That jury acquitted him in the Eastern District. And I guess he gets his $250 million freed up. Isn't that an incredible bail amount?
Yes, there is. And there's also a thing going on that we should all take note of, which is if you're associated with Trump, the system is going to treat you differently than other associations. And, you know, we had the – I was at the attorney general from New York
yeah, the Tish woman,
James. Yeah, who announced before she was elected that if elected, she was going to destroy Trump, you know, things like that.
And by the way, yesterday she got a judge to order that a monitor, an independent monitor, is going to be placed in the Trump organization now. So now Trump's business is going to be have a court monitor, which he was, by the way, he was likening that to Venezuela at a rally.
Well, what I'm sort of getting at is you know, as your dad used to say, you know, if you want to, feds want to go after somebody that can get anyone for anything. I'm right. saying, as much as you may hate Trump, do we want to live in a legal system where people in power are predisposed to go after this guy or that guy, and sometimes turned a blind eye to other guys who are involved with nefarious stuff? That doesn't feel like a great system to
well,
me.
Well, and it's funny you mention that, because there's articles today. And I always think when you see these and they come from certain publications that you know that this is a leak from law enforcement, that Merrick Garland at DOJ, who's the attorney general, is now mulling over appointing not one but multiple special counsels for the Trump investigations. So here we go again. And by the way, I always push back, guys. Special counsels started back in Iran-Contra, Clinton, Mueller, as everybody remembers. Now we're going to have that again. And if Trump announces in 2 weeks, which everybody's speculating, or less than that, 10 days, that he's going to run, then before he even gets elected or has the election, there'll be multiple – this is what they're floating – multiple special counsels appointed, basically proxy prosecutors to investigate him. Can you imagine what he's going to do with that?
I think the problem with that – and they always talk about words, especially with like the Paul Pelosi thing. You know, like they're going after everyone on Fox News mm-hmm. for not making fun of Pelosi when he got his DUI and, you know, stuff like that. So they're always worried about sort of weaponizing the other side with words. Most folks on the other side, you know, like when there's an Atlantic article that said, you know, we need to call a truce on COVID.
Gary had that yesterday when I was talking.
Let's declare a pandemic amnesty.
Right. Well, we'll get to parts of that article in a second. But in that article, they mentioned they had to do, you know, this side got it wrong, and then that side got it wrong, and the that side got it wrong was they had to do a bunch of work to not get people to think it was a good idea to inject bleach. And what I'm saying is how many people injected bleach? And the answer is zero, because if they did, then CNN would have been all over it, and we would have heard about it a million times. One couple drank fish tank cleaner, but
right.
it's unclear.
I was just going to say that was the one.
Would know about it. Right. So, no, you could – Trump or Bannon or whoever could say inject bleach, but most Americans are going to have trouble finding a vein and a syringe, and intuitively – they're not doing it. So nobody's injecting bleach. So you don't have to worry about, you know, words weaponizing half the country. You go on a never-ending, prolonged investigation of Trump that goes from, you know, Steele dossier to multiple impeachments to, you know, calls to the Ukraine to then January 6th to whatever the next few chapters are. You are going to weaponize a lot of this country.
By the way, and you would think that somebody as thoughtful or as bright as Merrick Garland, because by the way, there's no way you can say he isn't thoughtful and he isn't have a great kind of a resume, if you will. But you would think he would know that. If he's worried about the optics of Department of Justice, which clearly...
Oh, and the Mar-a-Lago raid as well.
Right.
If you say this guy's not on the ticket for 2024, there are going to be some people taken to the streets. You will create this.
Right. I don't get it. It's a never ending. It's almost like, it's like, here we go again. It's,
what I don't get is the people, many of whom live in California, who turn on the news and go, oh, what did they find this week on Trump? Wow. And they're all in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't see a crazy pattern here where it's just, now look, it doesn't mean he hasn't done anything. When you get to a certain position, you own multiple entities, you have X amount of employees, you do business, you know, in all parts of the world. Yes, there's things. They can find stuff on everyone. I think the real question that people are asking is, you could make a pretty good argument for folks going after Biden, but they're not going after Biden. They're going after Trump, and that's the part that's going to enrage people.
By the way, you know, we talk about whether it's a wave or a tsunami or whatever else. I'm going to tell you on November 9th, I'm going to make the prediction. The first thing that's going to happen on November 9th, because the House is going to flip, is you're going to see either Jim Jordan or some other Republican congressman, maybe even McCarthy, say that they are, number one, disbanding the January 6th committee. Number two, starting a Hunter Biden laptop investigation. Number three, they're going to go after Merrick Garland and the FBI. And here we go.
And Fauci.
Yeah. And by the way, articles of impeachment on Biden. I mean, there's going to start talking about the 25th Amendment that he's, you know, the only reason they won't lean hard into that is they don't want Kamala as the president. But we're going to see all of the things that we've lived through for the last 6 years are going to just flip.
I'll do my spot, but that Atlantic article made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, you want to read the whole thing or?
Well, it's just the first few paragraphs I read, which is.
I got it.
Yeah, the people that shut the schools and shut the beaches and fucked the kids up and fucked up small businesses, they want some sort of amnesty now for finger pointing. I've said a million times, if somebody said, it is my opinion that masks work, and I said, it is my opinion that masks don't work, and my opinion wasn't that masks don't work, my opinion is, if we're allowed to pull them off and eat Fiesta Mix on a 3-hour flight, then they're not effective.
Okay. So my point was,
and we don't need this outdoors and everything else. Okay. And your stupid gator where you've taken your dicky turtleneck sweater and rolled it up over your pie hole. That is not a barrier for this disease. So that's what I'm saying. If that person who was a proponent of masks said, well, then we'll agree to disagree. Then I would let them go their merry way.
I never understood
but
outdoors.
They wanted to shame us, and they wanted to attack us, and now they want the amnesty. Well, right. The amnesty would have worked if you said, that's your opinion, this is my opinion, but that's not how it worked. You wanted to be thrown off the flight. You wanted me removed from the flight. That's different.
You wanted you and me off the horse trail.
That's right. Oh, that's the horse trail's involved with this story. Let me hit or a trail. Let me hit Geico first. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard. I'll tell you what's easy. Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com. Get a quote and see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working with Geico at geico.com.
In April 2020, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks that I had made myself. We had a family hand signal, which the person in front would use if someone was approaching on the trail, and we needed to put our masks
on. Who's the author of this masterpiece?
Her name is Emily Oster.
All right, so you made your own mask out of denim? Like... You made your own cloth mask at home. Okay, there we go.
By the way, Drew gave her a compliment yesterday, didn't he? Didn't he say something positive about her?
I'd have to review the tape, but it felt negative in the moment.
All right.
Well, it was uncharacteristic for Drew. That's why it sticks out in my mind. All right, she goes on. Once when another child got too close to my then 4-year-old son on a bridge, he yelled at her, "Social distancing!"
By the way, I told you about it. I had the same experience on up the street from your house. A woman, actually came running over to me to scream at me because I didn't have my mask on. I was outdoors. There was nobody within 100 feet.
I would like the author of this story punished and the neighbor who ran down and the kid. I want them all punished.
How about the self-appointed horse trail maniac down there in Cholicinda? That guy chasing me? And where do you live? What's your address? Who are you?
I would like them punished. For two reasons. One, for just punitive reasons. Right. Like, hey, you're an asshole. It's no different than you taking a shit on my lawn. I would like you punished. And the other, but more, when the next thing comes down the pike, it will be on record. You will shut your fucking mouth.
So there was, I've talked about Warren Ettinger, who was a mentor of mine, a judge in L.A. He used to have this expression where he says, don't you just wish there was a felony stupidity law that you could enforce?
All right. Sorry. Continue. Mm-hmm.
These precautions were totally misguided. In April 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth masks made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know. Yeah. The reason you didn't know, dingbat, is because you were so busy ruining the reputation of Alex Berenson or any of the Barrington
Declaration.
You're so busy shouting down doctors and serious journalists who did studies, who collected data, and who had opinion other than your crazy Chicken Little opinion. You're so busy calling them quacks and deplatforming them that you didn't get that information. That's still your fault, asshole. And where did I get my information? Why did I know?
Well, by the way, Drew did a nice kind of summary of the various doctors, scientists on the Barrington Declaration. Mm-hmm. And the backgrounds and the resumes, pedigrees, whatever you want to call it, are unbelievable, thoughtful, high, and they were citing the alarm in real time.
And deplatforming them, and this person was applauding those people being removed from their jobs.
Drew also pointed out that many of those people that got shouted down all had grants from Fauci, from Fauci's purview, and they were in, until they started speaking up. Okay, she goes on. This is going to make you feel better, this first sentence here. I've been reflecting on this lack of knowledge thanks to a class I'm co-teaching at Brown University on COVID. We've spent several lectures reliving the first year of the pandemic, discussing the many important choices we had to make under conditions of tremendous uncertainty. Some of these choices turned out better than others. To take an example close to my own work, there is an emerging, if not universal, consensus that schools in the U.S. were closed for too long. The health risks of in-school spread were relatively low, whereas the cost to students' well-being and educational progress were high. The latest figures on learning loss are alarming. But in spring and summer 2020, we had only glimmers of information. Reasonable people who cared about children and teachers, advocated on both sides of the reopening debate.
Wouldn't you love to audit that class at Brown? I would love to attend that class at Brown and hear how you have to have a level of repression and denial that is mind-boggling to be able to even write that.
Well, also, yes, it was transmitted in schools. The real question is what does it do to kids after they get it? And the answer is statistically nothing.
Oh, no, they go home to grandpa who's living at the house because there's so many multi-generational.
We're all living in Italy in 1931.
You're all forgetting the immunocompromised teachers.
That's right. All right, sorry.
Another example. When the vaccines came out, we lacked definitive data on the relative effectiveness of Johnson & Johnson shot versus the mRNA options from Pfizer and Moderna. The mRNA vaccines have won out, but at the time, many people in public health were neither neutral or expressed a J&J preference. This misstep wasn't nefarious. It was the result of uncertainty. Obviously, some people intended to mislead and made wildly irresponsible claims. Remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach?
No, I don't remember that. I remember seeing everyone on CNN attack Donald Trump for saying inject bleach, even though he didn't say inject bleach. That much I remember. I don't remember the general.
We have to warn people. No Clorox.
Yeah, no, nobody. No, they didn't spend time doing that. They spent time attacking Trump.
You know, it's really just the entire thing is just mind-boggling to me. By the way, she still hasn't figured out the issue. I love that now J&J was a problem, but not the mRNA, when there is, as once again we discussed with Drew yesterday, they haven't done any legit study on what the causes are of the excess deaths that he's talking about. They haven't talked about that. No. They haven't said, is this vaccine related? Is this COVID related? Is there some correlation? Nobody's done a study on that, or if they have, it's not, it hasn't been peer reviewed and published.
It's not going to be popular, and most of those people are going to be wrong, and it's not, they're not in a rush to out themselves as wildly inaccurate and hysterical.
Yep.
Sorry, is there any more?
Oh, yeah. Remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach? That was bad. Misinformation was and remains a huge problem. But most errors were made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society.
By the way, they conveniently used an insane, cartoonish bleach injection. Show me the body count, bitch. How many people died of bleach injection? Was it a thing? No, it was not a thing. There were more people killed by sharks in this time period than died of being injected by bleach, because if there was one person who injected bleach, that would have been all over CNN, wall to wall, for at least two news cycles. So no, this was not a thing. We had other things that she could have brought up, but she didn't want to bring up, you know, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. She didn't want to bring that stuff up because that wasn't hysterical and extreme, and it turned out to be accurate. So, no, the other side was not. If all you got in, well, we didn't know this and that, but there was a lot of misinformation, citing something that never happened. It's not a good example.
And then using that as the foundation for your religious ideology.
Right.
Because that, we discussed that yesterday, too. It became religion.
Yes.
It became a religion.
Yes, by atheists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Religious people didn't participate
in it. No. But it became its own secular kind of religion that you had to, that it was, you were committing blasphemy if you ever challenged it.
The funniest things that everyone is putting together and trolling all these idiots for is they're putting together these great montages on Twitter of every public official and late night show host and every public person, ladies from The View, you know, explaining the vaccine. And if you get the vaccine, then you don't spread it. And these people are killers who aren't getting it and shouldn't be admitted into hospital. It's like, they're trolling the shit out of these people, and they should be trolled.
Well, it's in retrospect, the psychosis, and I guess there's guys smarter than I am who've talked about this formation that happens.
Yes.
Right?
Well, my number one answer to all these people, when they explain, we didn't know back then, my answer is, then shut your fucking mouth.
I've got a bigger problem.
Are there things you don't know about, like mechanical engineering or aerodynamics, that you'd like to pontificate on?
I just have a question. Why is it that you didn't ask questions? Why was asking a question just verboten? I don't understand.
You people should have found the Barrington Declaration or Alex Berenson or whomever. You should have found whoever was attacked and deplatformed and whatever, pulled down. You should have went, what is this person saying? I would like to hear this alternative viewpoint.
By the way, this did not require some kind of advanced knowledge. All you had to do, and we did it in real time, we talked to the people. We said, give me a declaration. We filed declarations in court, and then you get up to the Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal justices didn't want to hear anything. They just were outsourcing everything to Barbara Farrar.
Oh, that was the scariest part when Drew played that clip when he was talking to the school board or whatever way back when. And then they're like, we're going to shut all the schools and we have Dr. Farrar. Dr. Farrar, like sociologist, crazy gypsy lady Farrar. Ugh. Okay. Listen, everyone needs to troll these people and everyone needs to verbally abuse these people because A, they've earned it.
Are you inciting violence?
Verbal, just verbally. And you need to troll them. And I do it on Twitter all day long. And they want us to back off. Fuck that. You hurt a bunch of people. You cost a lot of businesses their demise. A lot of gyms shut down. A lot of mental health, physical health caused a lot of damage. And we should not forget, just like the Armenian Holocaust.
That is exactly right. That's
all right.
Exactly right.
Enough
bringing it all back to bringing it all full circle.
All right. You can go to, I'm going to be in Tucson at the Rialto Theater coming up December 15th, and then Tempe, Arizona at the Improv December 16th, 17th. Then going to be working with John Popper. We're doing a kind of land cruise January 20th through the 22nd, and he's going to be performing Blues Traveler, and I'm going to be doing stand-up. We'll do stuff together. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the tickets and info. What do you got, Mark?
Well, if you're in Grand Central Terminal, stop by Dirty Taco or Prova Pizza. If you're in L.A., stop by Engine Company 28, both downtown and at the LAX, Terminal 8, I believe, and 10E Mediterranean Tapas, or stop down at GG's in Palm Springs.
And I just want to say, Mark's been alluding to it, but Mark is going to be filling in next week on the Adam and Dr. Drew show for Adam. So Mark talks about talking to Drew, you can hear that all next week on the Adam and Dr. Drew show.
Good pull, Gary. Until next time, Adam Kroll. Mark Hart out. Garriga saying, mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Gather around for Halloween with Pluto TV's 31 Nights of Horror. All month long, Pluto TV is bringing you the best Halloween movies, shows, and more. Watch classic horror movies like The Grudge or The Blair Witch Project, or scream along with your favorite stars like Ryan Reynolds in Life. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. The best part, it's so free, it's chilling. No credit card, no sign up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start screaming now.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Hi, this is Jillian. Those of us here at Court Junkie have a new podcast called Civil, where we dive into fascinating civil cases. Like in the case of a principal who took it upon himself to hypnotize students as a hobby. Then many of those students ended up dead. Or when a man was publicly and wrongfully accused of being the I-10 freeway shooter. We'll also be covering popular civil cases you've likely heard of, like O.J. Simpson and Alex Jones versus the parents of Sandy Hook.
This is AC. I have O.J. in the car.
Sandy Hook, it's got inside job written all over.
Hosted by me, Jillian Jalali, researched by Nicole Gusmerati, and written by Matt Stroud and Nick Kepler. If you like following criminal trials like I do, I think you will love Civil. Subscribe to us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.